In Chinese classrooms, the good student who always does well in exams claims all the glory. The bad student who performs poorly in exams often feels like a social pariah. But is it possible that after graduation, in the real world, the bad student becomes the winner in life?
I hope so.
And what the good student achieves in life? Well, it simply pales in comparison. Let's talk about why are we starting this big debate about real life achievements between the bad student and the good student.
See, it's June right now, and
during
June, there's this big event happening. We call it the National College Entrance Exam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that exam, well, that is the hottest topic, at least for this month. Mm-hmm. And that triggered an online post gone viral this week, talking about whether a good student or a bad student can be more successful. And the writer is, well, a little bit bitter because I think he's a good student. He overheard people saying it's useless to be a good student since good students always work for the bad ones. You know, the bad students become the boss and good students work for them. And good students have no social ability. They try to keep their self-esteem by getting good scores. They are just losers. They never get success. So the writer is saying, well, I don't feel like that's true. That we have to got some perks from the good students. That is why we're talking about now. And I am 100% with the writer here.
Yeah.
So you're a good student, maybe.
Yeah, well,
you can guess.
You know, I hope this writer wasn't going into the test when he heard this. He's like, no! anyways, I don't think it's this black and white.
Mm.
This kind of either this way or this way, you know? It's a spectrum, like so many things. People want to look at stuff in the simple way, like maybe these people talking about this. But I think there's a lot more that comes to play. Let's talk about, you know, Jack Ma. Didn't he score? He scored a 1 in his mathematics on his first college entrance exam. Yeah.
So that's 1 out of 100, or is it 1 out of 5? It seems to be 1 out of 100.
It's
right?
1 out of 120.
Ooh.
Ouch.
But listen, this is where you really shine. Spirit. That's one of the things I'm going to bring into this argument. Spirit, Mr. Ma Yun, as you might know him.
Uh-huh.
Okay, he retook this the second time, getting 19. It's okay, Jack. You're like, I'm going to do it again. And then the third year, this guy comes in, poo, poo, pow. I don't know if this is really actually that good. 89 in mathematics, you know? Jack, I'm proud of you, because I've never been really great at math, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so I want to talk about maybe the popular Western version of how I can give an example of good student, bad student, and how that really doesn't necessarily apply, but rather it's the spirit, okay? So let's talk about Mr. Albert Einstein. So Albert Einstein, more than 100 years ago, okay, using his theory of relativity, his general theory of relativity, discovered what scientists are just now confirming, that there's in deep space 2 black holes that are merging. This guy did that with far less technology, just a good brain, 100 years before these guys actually figured it all out, right? So he's saying this stuff. And basically you would think, oh my God, this guy must be the best student in the world. Well, I would say, I think there's far more scientists out there probably alive today that have gotten academically much better grades than Einstein in their scholastic career. As I understand in researching Einstein, he flunked his entrance exam into a school called the Zurich Polytechnic. I guess the test was in French, and he hadn't taken a lot of French. So I don't know why he decided to do that, but he did. He also, his professors throughout his young scholastic career, he got good marks, high marks, but nobody necessarily talked about him as if he was some kind of prodigy. And 1984, the New York Times published an article saying that in his exam for that test I had previously mentioned, it was full of errors. So you would look at this guy and you wouldn't even say good student. If I told you, if I didn't tell you about his success before and you didn't know him, you'd be like, well, this guy's messing up all over the place. But what he's accomplished, you know, that can't be understated. So here we see someone who maybe isn't considered a good student, but maybe wouldn't even be considered a bad student, maybe in the middle, but still accomplishing something you would say, you know, neither have accomplished. This guy in the middle, it's more of something else. And so I would say a good example here is that how you perform as a student isn't going to be the measure of your success and what you could even contribute to the world.
Yeah, that's a very nice saying, actually. And I think in the classroom...
Thanks.
You're welcome. In the academic world or in the classroom, it seems like there's only one tool of measurement of
yeah.
whether you're a good student or a bad student. That's according to grades.
Ooh.
I have a slightly different opinion here.
Uh-oh.
That is because I think it's hard to define a good student and a bad student. Because for me, when I was in, let's say, high school, my favorite kind of students are those who are very naughty, don't play by the rule, but have really high scores. But
so
teachers are good students.
So you liked the bad boys.
The thing is, teachers don't necessarily consider them as good students. So if our criteria here is the score, this could be a little more tricky and interesting. That is, you see students as a kind of profession, and students is their job. And the student and the teachers are their co-workers. So they work together to get a higher grade. That is why we view the high grade as a result of their working. If that is true, then we have different reasons for a bad student, meaning a student get bad score. It could be that he's really not, let's say, book smart. He's really working hard but can't get a good score. But there's the other kind of bad students. They are the one who are really, well, they have the intelligence. They just don't want to play by the rule. They just don't want to work really hard. They maybe they wanted to play during their school time. But when they get to the society, it's possible that because there's so many different rules or different ways to get success in society, so they don't have to play by that one iron only rule. That is when they started to shine.
Yeah, you know, looking at this, I agree with Nuhong Lin. I think students in looking at grades is such a basic way to measure somebody and their capabilities, you know. Specifically, it's said that Albert Einstein, obviously one of the most brilliant men in history, I'm telling you, without modern science as it is today and technology and what we've achieved and how it's helped these scientists confirm these two black holes, this guy used the power of his brain to figure this out 100 years ago, or next to 100 years ago. That's pretty cool. So if you just looked at his academic record, you would say that doesn't match up with what he's given this world. And so there, first and foremost, proves this is a pretty crummy way to measure a student. And I'll say this. Students, I think school is so standardized on so many levels. It's meant to educate the general person. Yet you have people like Albert, right? Maybe at his time, he didn't have access to more challenging things. And I think when people aren't challenged, or when people are challenged too much, they get frustrated. They give up. They don't want to pursue it anymore. They feel like they've become a problem in society in some way, like they don't fit in, right? And so this has caused them to kind of just skeet by until maybe something, this little whiff of something in a kitchen, something in a classroom, let's say that. But like a kitchen, you smell something. Oh, what is that? And you suddenly, your hunger kicks in and you just want to eat it up. Well, I think maybe eventually Albert Einstein found this and he was able to pursue this voraciously and give us so much of what, defines physics today, astrophysics, I think. But basically, I'll say this. Bad students, I think one thing we can infer from them and their personality, let's say personality is a good way to measure someone, is their risk takers. Okay? I think good students, they play by the rules. They're afraid of going outside of the rules because they want the sure thing. I know if I do the work, I'll get this. But bad students might say, ah, maybe if I cheat a little bit, I can save some time, do some other stuff on the side, really make a lot more money. And New Hong Lin's like, oh, those guys are so cute. I like bad boys. But, you know, I would say, just saying because you were talking about earlier, but bad students, I would say risk takers. Good students, they like to stay within the lines, like New Hong Lin had said.
Well, I think actually I beg to differ because it's not always the case. There are good students that also are risk takers. Mm, they're maybe
they are hot.
Maybe, ooh.
Oh, there we go.
See? Yohui, you need to make up
that,
your mind on who's hot.
We found that sugar for you, New Hong Lin.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Also, like you guys sort of touched upon, like what makes the best bad student or good student? In China, I think particularly in Chinese classrooms, people value this more because when you are growing up, you are defined. Your identity is almost defined by whether you're a good student or a bad student. Because if you're a good student, then you get all the perks, you get the teacher's attention, you are automatically a student leader almost. Everybody looks up to you. And the bad student often here means your academic performance is one thing, but also in the Chinese classroom, those rebellious kids, like Yohou Lin said earlier, they're being seen as not good.
Yeah,
but actually rebellion in one's character could mean a lot of things. It could mean the risk takers or thinking outside of the box and not being confined to the rules, those kind of things.
I think we're looking at the wrong measurement here. Students, so early in life, before you form so much of who you are and understand yourself, what you're capable of, I would say a good way, because let's say this. Actually, I think what we're really interested in, instead of talking about good students and bad students, is success. And I would say success and how we would better find out who's getting there and for what reason is taking people that are commonly agreed upon as being successful and find out what they have in common and those traits. And that will give you the real definition of how to get to success. Because good students, bad students, you know, there's this New Hong Lin, maybe you can talk about him, Han, this guy that has accomplished so much. Yet I think, again, another example, if you looked and just focused academically, you wouldn't be so surprised at his academic career, maybe, earlier maybe. But, you know, you have these Albert Einsteins, these Han's, and I think this proves that good student, bad student is irrelevant.
And when it comes to success, I also have a theory here. That is, I don't want to like necessarily judge a success based on what it's generally seen as. I'd like to see how far have you go. That is, where's your starting point and where is the finish point? That is to say, if you're Wang Sichong and you're not the richest guy in China, you might not be that successful because your father is. That's your starting point. But if you're a kid from a relatively humble background and you manage to get out of the mountain and start your career in a mega city and have a successful family or happy family, that I would consider that success, like more successful.
Yeah, I think this is actually quite tricky a discussion because there are so many variables in this, because good or bad student, that is subjective. How do you see success? That is also subjective. But here, like Ryan, you said, okay, so if you see what the finishing point is of success, then what kind of people get there?
Let's say success is those that we see in the media. I think that's a pretty easy way to say they're agreed upon as being successful because the world is interested in them. Jack Ma, for sure. Han, one of these guys, okay? This guy's a singer, rally driver, best-selling author. What is this guy not doing? Popular blogger, but he didn't have the best scholastic early life as well. You got Einstein, who will be remembered throughout history. Yet now we're telling kids their future depends on good student, bad student. That's not important necessarily. I think studying is a good thing. I do think, you know, education is very important, but measuring a person on that, I don't think is important as much as finding out what all these people. We elate what New Hong Lin has said. We rise them, you know, we raise them on such pedestals for what they have achieved and finding out what they have in common, because I guarantee they have a lot in common. One of those things I think is never giving up, because failure is a part of life. We all got to do it. We just read about the good, successful stories. We don't read about all the failures these guys had before. Like, well, we just did about Jack Ma. Sorry, buddy. 1 point in your mathematics exam. That's definitely a failure. But he kept trying. And that's the moral of the story there.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And also, there's a lot of chicken soup, so such kind of posts out there that are actually highlighting, saying that it's a fact that the bad students do better in life.
Yeah.
But I think also treat that with a grain of salt, too, as apparently they're using Bill Gates as the poster boy of the average student when the guy dropped out from Harvard. So he's already a good student.
Yes. The original bad boy, Bill Gates.
Now look at him. I would think he's a good boy. Yeah. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Ryan Price, and Niu Honglin.